Welcome, campers, to Camp Divination. We are your hosts. I'm Ryan.
And I'm Jordan.
And I'm Carly.
We're doing the Yuba County 5.
Yes, the Yuba County 5.
Yeah.
This is an episode that we did earlier on, kind of earlier on, I think in our first year. And yep. So finally getting to return to it, because this one, much like Dyatlov Pass, there are a lot of unanswered questions and a lot that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I think of this as one of the most enduring mysteries in the campfire canon.
Absolutely.
This is one I still think about like every couple months. I'll realize some weird other detail and
yeah,
make something I thought would work not work. And yeah, there are so many theories, and none of them fit perfectly.
No, not at
so,
all.
So just now that we're doing this Camp Divination thing, we had to take the opportunity to dig into it further.
I'm thrilled. I love a mystery. Let me add it.
Well, this one is a doozy, so
yes,
yeah. Be ready.
I'm ready. I feel like sometime we should try just like blind pulling with it before I know any of the things, because I don't know this one. Once again, not unprepared, just choosing not to listen till afterwards. But I can't tell. I thought about maybe this time, and I thought that seems too complicated already. Okay. just based on what I was told. So
yeah.
At some point, toss me in. Just say, we're not gonna tell you anything. Pull. And I say, okay.
I'm into that. I think that could be that could make for a cool episode.
Yeah, but if there's lots of different things going on, those are harder for me to sort through with a deck of cards in my brain. So yeah. I can usually tell because it's confusing. But it's so.
Well, let's do a quick rundown on the episode and what happened, and we'll go from there. So there was a group of five men by the names of Ted Weir, Jack Madruga, Bill Sterling, Jackie Hewitt, and Gary Mathias from Yuba City, California, all possessing varying degrees of intellectual disabilities, left for a basketball game in Chico on February 4th, 1978, and never returned home. Madruga's car was found 4 days later stuck in a snow-covered road in the Plumas National Forest area, which was over 75 miles in the opposite direction of their house. There was still a half a tank of gas left in it, yet the men were found nowhere near. Due to days of rain and sleet, continued snow, it made it hard for search parties to kind of navigate the area. So it wasn't until June of 1978 that the remains of four out of five of them were found. And they were found in the U.S. Forest Service trailer just 12 miles from where their car had sat. It was reported that the trailer had actually had heat and enough food to last the group for up to a year as well. Yet the heat had never been turned on and the food was left untouched. And it was said that the men had died due to starving to death and obviously hypothermia, a combination of the two. The last of the group, Mathias, was never actually found, but his boots or shoes were left in the trailer.
How odd.
And so this is it's very, very weird.
It's serving X-Files, but immediately my ass was like, well, obviously somebody was preventing them from turning on the heat or eating the fucking food, so it had to have been the fifth guy.
See,
no offense, fifth guy.
This is the thing. So Mathias was the one that was never found. He didn't actually have a disability. He was actually a diagnosed schizophrenic.
Oh,
so
actually, yeah. That may
take
not that be
as
that
you will,
far
right
out of the realm of possibility.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there, one important detail I think is that also Gary Mathias and I think it was Jack Madruga, they were more mentally, I don't even know how to say this. How the fuck do you say this?
Cognizant? No. Mentally stable?
Incapacitated?
Mentally
no.
Aware?
I don't think either of these, any of these words are good words.
Right.
They were easier to manipulate,
like more mentally functional because
higher functioning. There we go. We'll go with that.
Okay.
Higher functioning.
Okay.
Okay. So, Jack Madruga and Gary Mathias were markedly more higher, like markedly higher functioning than the other three.
Mm-hmm.
They had actually served in the army in right. Vietnam. And so they had like survival training. They had all the things that come along with going through basic training. And that come along with experience in wartime. I think a lot of people lean into the fact that Mathias was diagnosed schizophrenic. He had also been like medicated successfully for yeah. over 5 years at the time of this. So he was, you know, working a normal job. He was doing well mm-hmm. when this happened. So I think sometimes it feels unfair to jump to like, well, he must have freaked out and killed all his friends. You know what I mean? Like, cause he really was doing well. Not to say that a break couldn't occur at any moment. Right.
I mean, that's fair, but I personally don't think that was the case.
Yeah. Also though, that summary is very much broad strokes because only one of them was found in the trailer.
Right.
The other three that were found were sort of found, they were found, what, it was like mile. It was, so Jack Madruga was found 11 miles from the trailer. So they were found, but it was sort of like the line between the trailer and where the car was left.
So
like they were clearly moving back toward the road where the car was, or never made it to the cab, to the trailer at all.
Hmm.
But they were sort of found in that path between the two points. And they were, you know, varying states of being eaten by wildlife, and they were all sort of emaciated and mm-hmm. not well. But the one found in the trailer, Ted Weir,
yeah.
Yeah. He had lost 80 pounds.
Holy shit. How long were they missing for? I have questions. That's
so
my
this
first
is from
one.
February to June was when the four bodies were discovered.
Okay. Yeah. How long does it take for a person to starve to death? But like
a lot
weeks?
Less than that. Yeah.
Well, it said that he was it. I'm trying to remember which one it was, actually. That it survived for about 8 weeks.
That's him. Yeah. Because they gauged by the fact that when he went missing, he was clean shaven, and then his beard growth
mm-hmm.
that had taken place. They said that he probably lasted about 8 weeks before he died.
So basically what you're telling me is this story is a crossover between the X-Files. Why? I don't know. It just feels vaguely alien to me. X-Files and who's that guy that died alone in the bus? Chris McCandless.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is the vibe that accepts more yeah. people.
Yep. Yeah. And it's okay. So he'd lost 80 pounds. He had frostbite. His feet were frostbitten really badly. And he had, okay. So there was a lot of food in this trailer. There was a much smaller amount of like MREs, right? The rations,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Military rations that had been opened and eaten that were, so well,
were
presumably eaten
MREs right,
by the bed where he was found. Right on the floor, they found next to the bed, they found opened packages. So in the original episode, we sort of came to the idea that he was left in the trailer because of the frostbite on his feet.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't travel with the rest of them.
Yeah, he couldn't really mm-hmm. get out of bed or do yeah. a whole lot.
So that maybe they left him in the bed, piled up some MREs next to him, and went to get help, and they never made it. He ran out of MREs that were next to him, literally couldn't get out of the bed because he was so fucked up, and laid there and starved to death.
That would be a terrible way to go.
Yeah, with a whole like cupboard filled with food like 10 feet away from him.
He couldn't like crawl.
That's what Ryan pointed out in the episode. Was like, I would I would drag my frostbitten feet across the floor, drag yeah. crawling I mean, before could, I would like, start yeah. to death.
You could inchworm yourself over there. Yeah. You could.
But there is a chance that he, before he realized, like, there are things like shock, and he could have been delirious, hallucinating,
mm-hmm.
any of that. Mm-hmm. Because frostbite often, when it goes untreated, you get really deep infection.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So he could have been fevered up and yeah. delirious and laid there and starved to death.
And that was also the same time that we found out, because a lot of people questioned, like, why they had never tried to, like, start a fire or something. There was plenty of matches, paper, and everything. And come to find out, there was actually a big propane tank outside
yep.
with full of propane that they could have actually turned on the heat and, you know, been completely fine.
And eaten the food.
I mean, there yeah. was a whole cabinet of untouched food that would last them
like
for up to a year.
Turn the heat on. Everybody gets food in your bellies. Maybe do some little first aidsies. Not for frostbite feet guy. That sucks for him.
Yeah.
And then go out.
That dude could have lived completely fine though. Like, even if it was several
they
weeks
wrapped
later,
up his feet
right?
And, yeah.
Yeah, he might have had to get him cut off, but he would have been fine.
You could assume that since the trailer was well stocked with food and propane. That
probably
had to have had some kind of
supplies.
Yes.
And, right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They could have bandaged his feet. They could have. There were probably antibiotics out there. Like, there's a lot of people keep that stuff on hand in those, like, wilderness camps.
Huh. So this is so bizarre then.
Yes. It's weird.
His was the weirdest, right.
That's the core of the mystery, is like, why weren't all these things taken advantage of?
Mm-hmm.
Why did they go into the wilderness in the
first
place?
Why did they stop their car in the first place? Because at that time, the roads were perfectly fine to continue. Mm-hmm. It was the snow and everything got progressively worse over the following days. There was literally no reason that they should have stopped.
Yeah.
And so that's another thing. Again, they had a half a tank of gas and everything. A lot of people speculate that they are basically just driving down this road and had gotten lost. And, you know, like, as the snow started to kick in, maybe they just didn't want to drive in it or whatever else, so they got out to try and maybe find some place to go and, like, stick it out for a little while, but seems kind of weird.
That's hard. It's hard to imagine, because if you look at pictures of this area, this road is, I mean, it's literally a mountain pass.
Yeah.
There's nothing. It's not like they would have seen lights in the distance to walk toward or in. I mean, there's
nothing.
But
they still had gas in the car and it wasn't broken down.
Exactly. The car was functioned just fine. And a lot of people, like, because, you know, these stories get conflated with other details over the years. You occasionally hear someone talk about, like, the car got stuck in the snow and that's why they stopped. But no, the snow did not get severe until the next day is when it started really coming down hard.
So were they at that cabin the whole time, or were...
That's a great question.
So there's the thing is, there were two bodies that were found. The one that was found, 11 miles away. And then Bill Sterling was the next one, except his, it was like pretty close by the other body, except his was just basically some bones that they later determined to be him. And then Matthias was never found.
Yep.
So they think that, like, maybe the two guys had left and left Matthias to stick it out with Weir. Then later on, because there was also the weird fact or the weird tidbit about, like, the three blankets and the flashlight that was found, like, a mile away from the cabin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, like, some people think that, like, maybe Matthias had decided to take them some supplies.
Yeah.
Or he decided to dip himself. Yeah, I mean, that's a good question as well.
Also, it was fairly nearby where they found Jack Hewitt, And he, like, his remains were actually discovered by his own father.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh,
yeah.
That's sad.
Yeah. Yeah, he insisted on being part of the search party, and he ended up being...
I wouldn't want to find and, that.
Well, what he found was his son's genes and spinal column and skull, and that is
Shut
it.
Shut up.
Yeah.
That's it.
What an awful thing to find.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right?
That's grisly. Yeah. Genes and a spinal column and a skull.
Oh. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I fucked around and asked a question without you guys asking me first because yeah. I was feeling impatient. I asked why they stopped the car in the first place because
that was one
I
of my questions.
Move on.
Excellent.
I yep. can't move on until I know the answer to this, but I have exciting things. Okay. First of all, the first card is Temperance, which is something either in balance or it could be out of balance. Specifically in this deck, it's labeled Karmic Lesson. Okay. So we're just going to, that's just the theme. Next, we have Betrayal. Followed by the Moon, which is seeing through deception, and Conflict, Five of Wands. Somebody found some shit out and they had a fight about it. Huh, so, in my mind, this is pure speculation, but since none of us know the answer anyways, I'm going to fucking go for it. They're driving on the road, this fight breaks out in the car, and one of them's like, pull the fuck over, I'm getting out. Then the rest of them sit in the car and we're like, we've got to go after him. They go after him into the woods, and all get tangled up and confused and lost. But the exciting part, that's my theory. The exciting part, I asked the same question to the Memento Mori, and I got the Hourglass, which is feeling pressured, or like time, like you're running out of time. And then the Mortar and Pestle, which is creating something new or practicality. But the Moth card, the messenger from the dead. Messenger for the dead. So one of them, I don't know which one, but one of their ghosties is like, sup, I'll talk to you. So there you go. Live, in-house, mediumship, yeah. Dead people
That's
things.
Awesome. Sweet. I kind of like that theory. There's another detail that I think might shed some more light on the idea of a conflict also.
Okay.
So... It was later that night, right? The person stopped
Joseph
on the road behind
Jones.
Them, behind their car. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So this fellow, Mr. Shones, he pulls off to the side of the road. He's on the same mountain pass because he has a heart attack.
He has a heart attack and his car gets stuck.
Yeah. And so he's like, all post heart attack, fucked up in his car, and he sees a group of men and a woman, and the woman is holding a baby.
A baby, yeah.
Standing beside a car, he opens his door and leans out of his car and he starts like yelling to them for help.
Yeah.
Right?
He tries to reach out for help and
yeah. And they just turn around and leave.
Mm-hmm.
They like walk away past the car they were sent. They get in another car and leave.
What?
Yeah.
There's something also to that was he heard this weird kind of whistling sound before he saw the people. And then later on, after they leave, he ends up seeing headlights again and hears the same strange kind of whistling sound.
Like it was a mechanical problem?
Maybe. And then,
like it was a UFO.
Or a UFO, exactly.
Or it could be a UFO.
But then sometime later, his engine finally dies. And so this guy, he walks 8 miles down the trail in the freezing cold, post-heart attack. And post, like, he had tried to get his own car out of the snowbank as well. So, I mean, this dude's already exerted himself tremendously. And along
Not
the
to
way,
mention the heart attack.
He apparently notices the Montego sitting along the road, but didn't. He said like he didn't really think much of it, and just kind of continues.
Their car.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were driving a '60s Mercury Montego.
Hmm.
The five, which is a giant heavy car.
Were they the group that he saw?
That's a great question.
If so, we're not sure. Where's the woman? Where's the baby?
Yeah. Right. That's a good question as well. So, yeah, he notices the car, but, you know, just kind of passes it up, and he continues walking down this path, and he makes it to safety.
Yeah. Almost like they could have done the exact same thing if their car was just stuck.
Exactly.
I mean.
Right? Why would you walk into the mountain that's, like, into the forest when you could just walk back down the road the way you came?
Now,
unless one of their friends took off into the darkness.
One other thing to take into account, and this is when they went to the basketball game, there was apparently a group of people that saw them be confronted by a group of men. There wasn't much said about it or anything like that, but so Hewitt's sister-in-law reached out like later on a blog, and she like posted her kind of what she had believed. And she had believed that the men had witnessed an altercation between some men and a woman. And they tried to help her, which led basically those guys to come after them. They also, which was kind of weird because it doesn't add up, but she had said as a result that she thinks that Matthias had been thrown off a bridge and died from the fall. And then the other men fled and drove up the mountain and got lost in the woods.
I think her thing with the bridge is just like an attempt to explain not being able to find him.
Yeah, agreed.
He's probably dead in the forest too.
Yeah, exactly. But, the forest is big.
The other thing with Schoen's, his story when he was questioned did change multiple times.
Yeah, that's true. So, he talked about how, like, the whole seeing the dudes with the woman and the baby could have definitely been a hallucination after the heart attack,
mm-hmm.
and all that. He went back and forth over the years. He went back and forth between being dead set that he saw what he saw and being like, well, I was kind of a mess at the time, so I'm not really sure.
And there was also a detail left out of the police reports is that shell casings were found at the entry to the mountain road as well. So, like, I mean, that could be, they could have been shot at. That could be,
let's ask,
casings from a hunter, or, I mean, you know, it's hard to say for sure, but
I really want to know if that conflict that they had at the basketball game led to all this. If there's really is a connection between the
two. Because that would fit, and also if they were like, well, obviously you didn't like crash them off the road or whatever, but if they're like chasing them and shooting at them, probably would fucking run for cover.
Sure.
Okay, basketball.
I don't think I'd get out of the car. I wouldn't stop the car, that's for sure.
I don't know.
If you didn't get out of the car, what would stop them from just walking up behind you, shooting glass out?
Well, no, I'm saying I wouldn't have stopped the car in the first place.
Oh, look. Yeah. Traveler. Okay, so Knight of Wands, that's a passionate moment. In this case, angry passion. The second card is murder. Oh, look at this. Mother and brother. I don't know how the brother card fits in, but the brother is also the Page of Swords, so that is usually...
Maybe the brother was one of the men.
Could have been. Mental clarity. Yeah, so I'd say I think that could be connected, because Traveler, they traveled to that basketball game, plus with the implication of the Knight of Wands being that, like, ignition, the spark that grew into a flame, which led to murder... Mother, on the card, it is a woman with a baby. I would like the record to show. And let me ask you about the brother, because that one's bothering me, because I feel like I'm not understanding something about it. Explain yourself. I don't know if it means a literal brother or Page of Swords meaning. Twin flames, Ten of Cups, conflict, violence. So I'm going to say actual brother. So maybe one of the men in the group or something. How weird, though, to have brother and then... Well, the Ten of Cups is happy family life, but definitely family connection, conflict, and violence. Okay. That's
maybe,
my official...
I mean, maybe two of the men in the group that chased them were brothers.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Or related or connected somehow to the woman.
Sure.
And the baby.
Maybe it was a girlfriend or sister, or maybe the group of people that that Jones had seen was actually the girl with her baby and the two guys that came back, maybe looking for the guys to... Maybe they cooled down and were like, oh, we need to make sure they're okay.
Or came back to finish them off.
Exactly. Yeah. But it'd be kind of weird that she would be with them in that case.
I mean, here's the thing. So the people who saw them arguing at the basketball game, they... Was it them that asserted that the five had come upon a conflict between the woman and the man?
Yeah.
Okay. So maybe they're actually connected and the group just misunderstood. Maybe they thought, like, here's some guys just, like, roughing a woman up.
Right.
Or something. But they're actually, like, one of the guys' sister or one of the guys' wife or something like that. Right. So she would be connected to them enough to be with them after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Well, plus, I mean, not to be that person, but there's also plenty of stories about bar fights and things like that where the woman is actively egging the situation on.
Oh, yeah. Sure. So, yeah. Like, just likes to be fought over.
I mean, yeah, there's that too. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Because I've always wondered, because I mean, that, like, that little tidbit isn't mentioned in a lot of, like, the summaries of the case and stuff, but as, like, you deep dive into it, that was one of the things that they had apparently witnessed or had gotten into an altercation, which would make a lot more sense for them to be, you know, like, chased after or whatever else, you know, instead of this just being some random case where they decide to, like, stop their car and get out. But it still doesn't make sense why they stopped and got out.
Yeah.
Yeah. You'd think they'd just, well, do you want me to ask?
I mean, I would like to.
You'd think they would just drive home.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'd love to know why they would have stopped in that situation.
Yeah. Because you have Jones that basically travels 8 miles on foot and makes it back to the nearest town.
Yeah. They definitely could have just not taken that mountain pass and driven straight into a town.
Right. Literally
a
couple minutes from the town within driving distance. Like,
because they'd made this drive multiple times before. Like, they were familiar with the established route, and they went off of it for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
No idea why.
I've never been so thrilled. I don't know to answer the first part. Okay, no, I have an answer. I'm like working it out in my head, but I'm excited for the second cards. Okay. Why did they get out of the car? The card, interestingly, is greed. That's the Four of Pentacles, and that's holding on to something too tightly. So I'm not exactly sure. Like, that part, I'm like, well, huh. What are you? Because there's no money involved here, unless, like, the woman was, again, the thing being fought over. Then we have the Four of Wands, which is traditionally a celebratory card, and more specifically in traditional tarot, it depicts a couple getting married. There's, like, four poles with ribbons on it. It's like a ceremony, right? Then we have the Chariot, which is, literally driving in this case. Karmic lesson, again, temperance, being out of balance, and then starvation. Starvation makes sense. The rest of that isn't, like, fully piecing together.
I have a question to follow up after you're done, though.
Okay. From the Memento Mori, I asked the same question, and once again, I've got the trunk, which is secrets. Then the door knocker, which is spirit visitation, and then the moth, which is a messenger from the dead, and then the pot, the teapot, which is literally spilling of the tea. So, one of them wants to talk, and I'm here for it.
So, to follow up with this.
Thrilled. Okay.
There are some people that believe the car had actually been moved or dropped off by a third party, or by that group that they had the altercation with. Mm-hmm. So thinking that they were trying to get rid of it, maybe they had already done something, or I don't know, maybe like...
Mm-hmm.
See, that's... Mm-hmm. But the fact that they were found 12, well, you know, roughly 12 miles later in the cabin, I don't know,
but
like...
But if they... Yeah. Interesting. So the car could have... They could have willingly left the car or something, or... Let me just...
Or maybe they were led into the forest by these people, and...
Yeah, well, because there's the gunpoint. Let me just ask our friendly ghost to explain to me, please, and thank
you. I was going
to
say, ask him directly.
Yeah. Sup, ghost?
From the beginning of learning about this case, I've wanted a map of the area.
Right.
It's... Like, it's so hard to pinpoint exactly where it is. So, like, here's the thing is, the way these systems out here work, there could easily be an access road or something that's even closer to the trailer that they're found at than the road where the car is. Right? So, some shit could have went down way closer to the trailer, and... They could have been, you know, led out there or killed out there.
Yeah.
And then they could have moved the car wherever they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Was the car moved? It would also make sense why they didn't just walk back to the car, because they might not have even known it was there.
Yeah.
Or, this is also late at night in a forest... It'd be really easy to lose your sense of direction.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The first group of cards, interestingly, also starts with money. It's the coins card. The greed card and the last one confused me. So I'm processing my confusion, because as far as I know, there is nothing to do with money in this story. And it doesn't sound like these people were, like, wealthy people.
No.
Okay.
Could there have been a bet placed on the game or something?
That's exactly what I was about to ask.
Because I never thought of anything like that.
Let me ask the cards that real quick. But okay, so hang on. I'll put a pin in asking. Money. Then the next card is snake, which is deception. The watch, which is usually indicates waiting to me. Deception, waiting, almost like someone was like lying in wait, maybe. Then the viewing table and the cure. So I wonder if one or more of them was injured in this conflict. And then if they were chased out into the woods, if they thought that they could just lie low. That's such a long time to lie low, though. How did they not find the road? This is my question. Okay, either way, I'm getting off track. Well... You go, and then I'll ask a follow-up.
Here's what your cards just said to me.
Okay, okay, tell me.
So, the conflict at the basketball game has... I'm just going out on a limb here. The conflict at the basketball game has nothing to do with the woman. It has to do with a bet that's placed between the two groups.
Yeah, that's right? What I was thinking.
Mm-hmm.
The second group says, you know... Okay, we'll pay you. Just meet us. Follow us here. That's where the money is, right? Or whatever it is. Follow us here. They go. They lie in wait. And then attack.
Mm-hmm. I actually think that makes a lot of sense. That's the watch. It's not waiting. It's a literal time.
Yeah.
It's a literal time.
See, because it could have been misperceived. Like this, like little whatever, and maybe it was about this bet or something that was placed, and that's what like somebody on the outside, right? And they were just trying to figure out maybe what it was. They didn't actually hear anything and just kind of saw it happening.
And the woman might have just been there, so they might not have been fighting over the woman. She just was a part of the group.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or maybe she was like telling them no, like whatever, like you know, like, and maybe they. I don't know, like, you know, like her tribe being opposed to this happening. And so that's where they see, like, maybe them arguing with her.
That's true, too. Yeah. Okay, should I ask about the bet?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
For sure.
Was there a bet? Queen of Pentacles. Again, female and money. Wheel of Fortune, so yes. Ace of Wands, yes. Prison is the last one. So, trapped or confined.
Okay.
I mean, is that possible at all? That they just, like, held on to these guys for, like, ages and ages, didn't feed them, and then just fucking let them loose in the woods?
I mean, that sounds like that's definitely a possibility. I don't know anything that would rule that out.
Maybe they gave him a head start and then hunted him.
That would be
some most
brutal.
Dangerous game type shit.
Yeah, right.
Let me ask about that. We're talking horror movie territories, and I am thrilled. I'm not thrilled for the poor guys. I'm very sorry for
them. No, but this would be a stellar movie, though.
It would be, right? But it also makes more sense because if they were actually held captive for a time period, it makes their weakness. Starvation, obviously.
Or they were out there and these guys, like, refused to come out of this cabin for a little while, and finally they don't see him out there anymore, so a couple of them can actually move, aside from Weir being, like, stuck on the bed due to frostbite. Mm-hmm. The others take off and
are then hunted.
Right. Or then just die to the elements or whatever else. But maybe, like, that group stayed around waiting for them to come out of this cabin for a while.
Do you think they died sooner than we thought? Well, but the beard. They were measuring the beard. How fast do beards grow?
I think the guys that were found in the wilderness could definitely have died much earlier.
Especially since some of them were just literally bones.
Skeletal remains, right. Yeah.
I am thrilled. I'm not thrilled for them. But I asked if they were held captive, and the card that I got, it's the Devil card. And in this deck, the importance about the Devil card is the imagery is traditionally people chained to the devil figure, right? But this card is also titled Slavery. So the image on this is actually a naked woman, and it's like a Roman setting, and they're, like, obviously betting
enslaved
on her. Yeah.
Sure.
But stuck on, like, unsafe situation, stuck with these people. And then we have the Seven of Pentacles. That one's interesting because that's usually, like, an apprentice type card where you are still, like, learning things. So almost like it wasn't, like, planned, and maybe there was a lot of back and forth on what to actually do with these guys. But then we have the Ace of Cups, which is a yes to me, and the King of Pentacles. So we had the Queen of Pentacles, now we have the King of Pentacles. So again, money related, but that also feels like a potential yes. So.
Yeah. The Seven of Pentacles could definitely just be a symbol of their naivety.
That too.
Right? In following them out there, right?
Yeah. Oh, that's really smart. I didn't think about that. I was taking that one very literally. So yeah, that would make sense because it's like a beginner's mindset.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Fascinating. Okay. So, where do we want to go from here?
Well, man, I don't even know. I feel like we just sold it.
Do you want
it.
Me to ask if they were hunted? Because we had that thought.
Might as well. Yeah.
I'm really feeling the idea that they led them out there for whatever they bet on, right? And, like, out here is the money. And then they park alongside the road, and they're like, oh, it's just a short walk in here to the, you know, to the trailer. We'll get you your money. And then when they get, by the time they get out there. Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, but if you have the one group that knows what they're doing, and, you know, has the trailer, whatever, they know the path, they know how to get there, they're comfortable being out there, and then the other group who isn't, maybe when, like, complaints and resistance fires up.
I am thrilled. You're right, keep going.
But, you know, because the walk is so long, maybe at a certain point, you know, complaints begin, and that flares up conflict, and maybe that's why some of them die along the way.
But well, also right? would have been pretty easy for them to be like, oh, it's not that much farther. It's like, yeah. we're getting really close now. It must be harder because of the snow, even though it wasn't snowing a whole ton. But
sure.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so the cards, I asked if they were hunted, and the cards are the crown, which is the winner, the big payoff, a yes, the boot, on the right track, the spell card, and the spell one is interesting because we're not talking literal witchcraft here, we're talking a weaving of the words. So again, like yeah. you were saying, come on, there's this thing. But then the last card is the clothespin, which is to secure or fasten something together. So I think that the group of men who ended up dying, I think they realized a little bit too late that they were in a bad situation. And once they did, they tried to figure out a way to all, like,
survive
stick together. It. Yeah. Yeah. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Wild.
Yeah.
That's the thing with him, with Weir in particular, with him being found so much later.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, in the trailer, there's no way of
him living so long, too. Like,
yeah. That's the thing, is there's, and maybe this is just, like, my dark mind going as far as it wants to on its own.
Did they keep him alive for a little while?
There's no way of knowing what that dude went through in those 8 weeks.
That is true.
You know what I mean?
Should we ask?
Maybe they tied him up and left his feet in the snow so he couldn't walk.
Exactly. Right? Or, you know, any number of horrific things could have been done to this guy before he ultimately died.
Damn.
It's maybe they just happened to run into the absolute worst fucking people they could have run into. You know what I mean? They make this bet, they get drawn out there, and just for these, like, I'm creating this, like, team of villains in my mind. You know what I mean? These, like, sort of, like, backwoods monsters, pretty
like
much.
Wrong turn types?
Yes, yeah. That just, like, maybe on the inside and not the outside, you know? These, like, just this group of dudes who are sadistic as fuck.
Or maybe they're, like, bookies for, like, the mafia or something, and...
Oh, Jesus, that's a whole different direction.
So I asked if he was kept alive for some time. And the cards are interesting. It's the poppet, which is usually a magical helper. But in this case, I'm thinking that it's referring to another human. The sacred stone also usually indicates like an ancient power. Like if this came out in a different type of reading, I would say earth-based spirit or earth-based magic. Actually, maybe it's just referencing him. Maybe he's the one who's been here this whole time. He probably still feels very connected to the earth there. Then the teapot, which can be a healing remedy, but it's also, again, spilling the tea, telling secrets. And then the spell card again. But the last card that came out was the apron, which means a blanket of protection, childhood memories, but it's also female related. It has a female energy. So I asked, see, this is interesting. So what I was thinking is it possible that maybe somewhere along the line, the woman started to kind of like feel bad and he hoped that she would help him. Like maybe she brought him little bits of food or whatever. If he was kept alive, like if his friends were already dead and he was kept alive for whatever reason, if he felt like the woman was offering him some sort of protection. So he just asked for a little bit more information and I got the tower. And in this deck, it's not like the traditional tower, but there are some elements of that. One of them being the sense of entrapment. And then the clover, which is good luck. So the clover is good things. And then the runes, that card to me just means intuition. So there could be something to that line of thought, that the others may have died much earlier. And for whatever reason, like he didn't die. They kept him alive. Maybe he got out one time, like escaped and was running through the snow, and that's how he got the frostbite, and then they caught him and brought him back or something. Maybe the woman let him go at one point, and they kind of chased him down until he ended up back at the cabin.
Sure.
And then they just fucking left him there. I don't know. Maybe she gave him the MREs.
Yeah, maybe she came and checked on him here and there, and...
Yeah, or maybe it was something like, maybe the men let him go. And so maybe it was that situation where the men let him go and he was running barefoot through the woods. So that would account for the frostbite, hunting him, so to speak. And then what if she ended up finding him, brought him back to the cabin, gave him the MREs, promised to get him help, and then just never came back?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's fair.
I love storytelling. I don't even know if that's real or not, but I like it. I'm going to ask. How you think, to quote my youngest daughter. How you think, cards. I'm getting a long answer. A really long one. Okay. Clover. Morning brooch. Tear catcher. Oh, he's so sad. Spinning wheel is telling stories. The thistle protection. Drum is a war cry. The mining pick strength, uncovering something precious, and the watch again, waiting. So, I would say I don't think that the story that I just spun is like 100% accurate, but I think it's close enough to the truth because the clover is a yes card to me, and then we have two cards about mourning, like. Heartbreak, like yeah. Really thinking that she was going to help him. And then, I mean, maybe she did used to talk to him or something with the spinning wheel, literally would talk to him, tell him stories or tell him that things were going to be okay. And combined with the thistle, which is, it's like folk protection, basically. But right. If the thistle comes up, it's usually like things are going to be a-okay. But then we have the drum, the war cry.
And things this, turning.
Yeah. Yeah. Things turning, yeah. Or that could have been the men coming in and...
intervening.
Being like, what the fuck? We're not going to let this guy go, and tossing him out into the cold and chasing him. So, and the watch, but the watch to me seems like he died waiting. We thought he died waiting for his friends to come back, but what if he died thinking that this woman was actually coming back to help him, and she didn't?
Yeah. That's pretty heavy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm thriving right now.
And honestly, it sounds like one of the most possible scenarios.
Yeah. I mean, just the idea of the group leading them out there really clicks with me.
Yeah, I know.
That makes more sense.
It makes a lot more sense than when we originally talked about like this and that being a possibility, and there, you know, those being somewhat tied together. But yeah, now it actually makes the most sense.
Because previously, when I considered that group that they interacted with at the game, I always thought of them sort of chasing them into the forest.
Yeah,
but what if they were leading them into the forest? Yeah. Like. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes a lot more sense to me. That it's a lot less contentious at the beginning, right? Mm-hmm. It's not a fight until they're well into the wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
We got to start solving crimes.
Clearly. Right? I just asked if there's anything else that he wants to tell me about what happened to him.
And then after that, I have one more question.
Okay. I'm going to use this deck too, but the first cards out are Fate. That's the Wheel of Fortune. So they would have felt like they hit the jackpot. And then the Two of Swords is usually blind choosing, or the Two of Swords is like stuck between a crossroads, but a choice was made. Two of Swords, Nine of Swords. They didn't realize they made the wrong choice until it was too late. The Moon is again seeing through deception. So by the time by the time they realized it was a mistake, it was already too late. And then the Two of Wands is future planning. So that would have been just trying to stay one step ahead, trying to stay alive there. So let me just ask if there's anything else, and then Ryan, go for your question, because okay. I feel like that cut off mid-sentence there. The viewing table, offerings, rope, runes. Two of those cards, intuition and divination, those two just feel like a little bit of gratitude. The viewing table is being seen, like, both ways. On display, people watching. The offerings card, that one doesn't make a lot of sense, other than they were offered, or they thought they were being offered money. The rope is, again, being tied.
That feels like a big, long confirmation of what we've been saying whole time.
It's just, it feels like he's repeating himself right now, which means he probably doesn't have anything else to add, because that's like the same theme twice in a row. Mm-hmm. So it's lost the intensity of like, no, listen, let's figure this out. And it's just a repeat. Okay, go, Ryan.
So let's throw everything out the window.
Okay.
And say they were abducted by aliens.
I want to believe. Were they abducted by aliens?
Just out of curiosity. Just to see what they say.
Aliens,
you gotta go there.
Aliens would have made the most sense before we turned into human monsters. The King of Swords is logic over emotion.
Okay.
But then it redirected. We have the brother card again. The next card is Hero, which is also the Knight of Cups, and it is someone coming forward with an offer that you find very exciting, and benevolent man. So again, the theme of, so no, it's not aliens.
Yeah.
It really was the, it was the money.
All right. I mean, I'm
wild.
I'm sold on that regardless. So yeah.
You know,
that was awesome.
Like, I'm Ryan's just like, saying. No.
Ryan's like, no, not people. Is it aliens? And the cards are like, rationality, Ryan. Rationality.
I, for one, enjoy it when they're bitch slapping someone that's not me. So I could just sit back and go.
Awesome.
It's not going to be the only time I'm going to ask. Don't worry.
They'll be ready.
Get ready, cards.
This was fascinating. I am thriving. This is last
week
and this week.
I feel like
we've
got a lot out of this one for sure.
Yeah.
I love this. You guys need to do some more unsolved cases. Let me add them. I don't even care if this can be used or not used. I am here for it. I got a straight story from a dead person today. So
yeah, that was
living
awesome.
My best life.
Do you feel like it was weird that you were communicating with the one that was left found in the trailer?
Yeah, I didn't know who it was at first because it was five of them, and as we know, I don't directly speak to them. I speak through the cards, so it's like, well, if they're five men, that's just gonna feel like a fucking man. So I don't know, but yeah, I think it was him because the farther along we got in the story, and specifically once we started questioning if he was being kept alive. I think that's when he was like, why, yes, thank you.
Felt like direct answers, not from a second hand.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is good.
Yeah. Yeah, I really liked this.
More.
So now we should just come back, write a book on what actually happened, and we will solve the case.
Listen.
There we go.
I am here for it.
Yeah.
Where's the investigative journalists? Come on, bring them out in droves. Make them produce a full one series standalone podcast about this case with our theory, okay?
That's all right.
I'd like to be an expert witness on what occult things.
Good. Well done. Yeah, well done, Carly.
Absolutely.
Thank you. This was amazing.
Well, I think that's going to do it for this week's episode of Camp Divination, the return to the Yuba County Five.